Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Kicking off with a not-so-sunny side of sports story. World football's governing body, FIFA, says African soccer chief Ahmad Ahmad was questioned by French authorities on Thursday in Paris. In a statement at its website, FIFA said it is unaware of the details surrounding the investigation and is therefore not in a position to comment on it specifically. However, several reports allege the 59-year-old Ahmad is facing corruption charges. They say he forced the Confederation of African Football, CAF, to buy sportswear through a French company. FIFA says it's asking French authorities for any information that might be relevant to investigations taking place within its ethics committee. CAF President Ahmad was attending the FIFA Congress in Paris ahead of Friday's kickoff of the Women's World Cup. France will host South Korea in the opening match. The French women are considered one of the favorites for the trophy, along with the defending champion United States. Three African teams will compete at the Women's World Cup. They are the Super Falcons of Nigeria, Banyana Banyana of South Africa, and the indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon. The Nigerian women have dominated African women's football over the years, qualifying for every Women's World Cup since 1991. However, the Super Falcons have advanced to the Women's World Cup quarterfinals only once, at the 1999 Women's World Cup here in the United States. The Nigerian women will play their opening match Saturday against Norway. South Africa will also begin its World Cup campaign on Saturday when it plays Spain. And the Cameroonian women will open against Canada on Monday. And speaking of Canada, the Canadian president of CONCACAF, the Confederation of North, Central American, and Caribbean Association Football, is speaking out about the state of the women's game ahead of the Women's World Cup. Joining us now with more details on the president's remarks at the CONCACAF Extraordinary Congress is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. CONCACAF has announced their plans to develop and expand the game of women's soccer. On Tuesday, Federation President Victor Montagliani spoke in Paris, where he called for an overall investment in the sport.
Women's football is not a cost. It's an opportunity. Let's invest in it. Not just our funds and our resources, but our energy, our time, and our heart. Women represent 50% of the world's population and 95% in my house. That's a huge audience. And it means that in women, we have an opportunity to transform the landscape of football in our region.
Montagliani says the program's objective is to give every woman the opportunity to not only play on the field, but run things off the field as well.
You know, you have to be honest. There is a gap. Perception is the biggest problem. There's stereotypes used all the time. I hear it, you know, in certain parts of the world where I travel. It's like, oh, you know, our culture, which, you know, boggles the mind for me, But the reality is, you know, let's sit down and say, okay, let's have that discussion. What does culture really mean? Like, how do you define that? Because to me, I don't care what part of the world, but telling an 8-9-year-old girl that she can't play football, but a boy can, not acceptable in 2019. Never been acceptable, but, you know, where we are now, absolutely not acceptable. So I think we need to, at times it's through education, at times it's through, dialogue, and at times it's through emotional force. That you need to break down those walls.
Last year, the Confederation appointed former Canadian goalkeeper Karina LeBlanc as its first ever head of women's football. LeBlanc spoke about CONCACAF's efforts to grow the game of soccer and the power of women to leave their footprint on the sport.
Think about your daughter, your granddaughter, your sister, your mother, the women who have influenced you in your life. What legacy are you doing in your country to make sure that the next young girl who picks up that ball does not hand it to her brother to play the game, but picks it up to play it herself? We should be the leaders. Our General Secretary Fatima said from FIFA, she said in the last course, the train for women's football has left. You either get on or get off. But let's not get on and coast. Let's get on and lead.
LeBlanc also addressed the issue of equal pay and pointed to the U.S. women's soccer team for taking the lead in the battle for equality.
The Americans have always been the one pushing the glass ceiling, and it's great because they are the ones who set the tone. I hope it happens, but at the end of the day, we just want more opportunities to play, and I think that's what you'll see at the Summer's World Cup. You'll see what when people invest in the women's game, what happens. There's teams that have, like Jamaica, it's the first time they've ever qualified for a Women's World Cup. How amazing is that? And people will see with the small investment what can happen, and that the women's game is part of the solution to making sure that football is the top sport in the world.
LeBlanc says her long-term goals include creating new women's soccer competitions to encourage the launch of more women's clubs across the region.
Yeah, I think as the more people play, the more bigger tournaments we have, the more people show up, the more we can commercialize the game. And I think that's the end in mind. When you make money, you can spend money. So, but also is that people stop seeing women's football as a cost, but rather than an opportunity. And I think that's where we are. It's an opportunity to grow a game. You empower one girl, you empower a full community. And I think it's that people are now starting to see that, that women's football is not just a cost and like, oh, let's just put it to the side. It's actually an opportunity to grow the game.
This year, the Confederation also has plans to develop a commercial strategy around their women's soccer brand, CONCACAF W. We are one day away from the start of the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup. Stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports for coverage of the tournament that is set to kick off on Friday in Paris. And that's all from me. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Three teams from the CONCACAF region, Canada, Jamaica, and the defending champion, United States, qualified for the Women's World Cup in France. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the reggae girls of Jamaica, who are making their first appearance in the Women's World Cup. If you go to my Facebook page, the address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see a story by Washington Post soccer writer Stephen Goff about the reggae girls. Steve writes how one of the influential people lending support to the underdog reggae girls is Sadella Marley, daughter of the late reggae superstar, Bob Marley.
We are the children of the higher man. So, Africa, unite. Africa, unite. Yeah. Unite for the benefit of your people. Unite for its greater than they think. Unite for the benefit of your children.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Jamaica's men's national football team defeated the United States Wednesday night 1-0 in an international friendly match played here in Washington. U.S. coach Greg Berhalter tried out new players and new formations in the match, and he was honest. He said the Americans didn't play well. This is the USA's first loss under Berhalter, who is tasked with rebuilding a program that failed to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The game's only goal came in the 60th minute from 22-year-old Jamaican striker Shamar Nicholson. Almost 18,000 fans attended the friendly match at Audi Field, the home of Major League Soccer's DC United team. And one quick geographical note for our Voice of America listeners. Audi Field is located just a short walk from our VOA headquarters here in Washington. Both the United States and Jamaica used the match as a warm-up for the upcoming CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament, which kicks off June 15th and goes through July 7th. The United States, Costa Rica, and Jamaica will all host matches during the competition. The final will be played at Soldier Field in Chicago. Now let's go to Asaba, the capital of Nigeria's Delta State. That's where 20 players of Nigeria's national football team have gathered to prepare for this month's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. Nigeria is in Group B for the African football showpiece, along with Guinea and Nations Cup debutants Burundi and Madagascar. Dr. Kingsley Amu is the Delta State Commissioner for Economic Planning. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him, what are the economic benefits of hosting the Super Eagles of Nigeria?
The benefits are enormous. First is that there are a lot of economic activities that come with this. Those economic activities means that the stadium will be full. There are some gate check-ins. Secondly is the level of commercial activities, selling of water, selling of food items, and all the other related issues associated with that. Three is that a lot of people fly into the states. And hotels, hospitality and tourism is promoted as a result of that. The fourth one is even the awareness, bringing the map of the state to the entire world, because it's an African event, a continental event. So it means that the whole of Africa today will be glued onto the TV to see them. And that's a lot of commercial value. The results may not be immediate, but they come thereafter, because Asaba has been brought to the map of the world. So that is enormous.
How is the state going to leverage on these visits, international events, such as we had the All-African Athletics Championship, we have the international matches, football matches involving Nigeria and all the other countries. How is the state going to leverage on this to attract investment to the state?
That's already starting. First was the 52 African countries in the athletic competition, and that paved the way for the Super Eagles. And I even just heard now that the match between Zimbabwe and Nigeria will be played here. So the publicity is critical, and it's unpaid for. The world is also beginning to appreciate the value that we have here. So a whole lot of other sporting activities that will be staged here in Delta State. Besides, the state is also developing more infrastructure, sporting infrastructure. At the last, the national sporting activities, we came tops, which is 4 years in a row, and it's not by accident. So what you have just seen is that the stadium has just brought everything we've been doing to the fore. So we're leveraging that very strongly, and we're not going
to
relent.
Is government planning to reach out to other Deltans and indeed Nigerians in the diaspora to bring them home to leverage on this?
Yeah, I mean, the world is a global village. With a super sports, you don't have a limit. Even where it has been shut out for censored for obvious reasons, people still watch them through the YouTube area. So Asaba is in the map of the world. So, and Nigerians in diaspora are part of the goings on. There's a lot of activities, there's a lot of excitement, and it's actually a corollary to what we're doing. So very clearly, we're doing enough sensitization, and we're reaching out to people one-on-one, through media, and even words of mouth. So we're on course. So clearly, there are numerous things, numerous benefits that you can't even pinpoint. But suffice it to say that the journey to prosperity has just begun for the state, and it has become a tourist attraction.
That's Dr. Kingsley Amu, the Delta State Commissioner for Economic Planning, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Asaba, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the National Basketball Association finals. But first, these VOA programming announcements.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
The Toronto Raptors topped the defending champion Golden State Warriors Wednesday night 123-109 to take a 2-1 lead in the National Basketball Association Finals. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
Kawhi Leonard led 6 Raptors in double digits with 30 points as Toronto wins Game 3 of the Finals 123-109. Kyle Lowry added 23 points, while Pascal Siakam and Danny Green each had 18 points to give the Raptors a 2-1 lead in the series. Lowry says they have the right group of experienced players that have gotten them to the finals.
Never get too up, never get too down. You know, teams are going to make runs, and you're going to not win every game. You're not going to lose every game, but you can continue to grow.
For the Warriors, Stephen Curry poured in a playoff career-high 47 points.
Just got to execute and play smarter. And no matter who's out there on the floor, do what you gotta do to win. It's the finals, man. Opportunity for us to get back in the series on Friday and take it from there.
Game 4 is Friday night. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Warriors played Game 3 in Oakland without two of their top players, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Durant has been hobbled by a calf injury, and he hasn't even played yet in the NBA Finals. And just before tip-off, the Warriors said Thompson would miss the first playoff game of his career because of a hamstring injury. Draymond Green had 17 points and 7 rebounds for the Warriors in Game 3. And afterwards, he talked about Thompson not being on the court.
You don't sacrifice a finals game to be healthy for the next one, because anything can happen. But at the same time, you do have to be smart. You know, we would much rather have Klay for the rest of the series than putting him out there and lose him and then nothing.
That's 3-time NBA All-Star Draymond Green of the defending champion Golden State Warriors. Once again, the Toronto Raptors lead the Warriors 2-1 in the best of 7 NBA Finals. Game 4 is Friday night in Oakland, California. Big upset on Thursday at the French Open tennis tournament in Paris. American teenager Amanda Anisimova reached her first Grand Slam semifinal. She ousted defending champion Simona Halep of straight sets 6-2 and 6-4. Some background information on Amanda. I had to do some research. She's only 17 years old. She had never even won a match at Roland Garros before this year, but she's been playing great tennis in the French capital. She has yet to drop a set on the way to her first Grand Slam semifinal. Once again, remember that name. She's going to be making some headlines on Friday. American teenager Amanda Anisimova, she eliminates defending champion Simona Halep of Romania in straight sets. The unseeded Anna Samova will next face the Australian 8th seed, Ashley Barty, who beat American Madison Keys in straight sets 6-3 and 6-5. Anna Samova had some quotes after her big upset. "I don't think it's going to sink in for a while, at least not for today. It's crazy. I really can't believe the result. Getting the opportunity to play against Simona, that's amazing. But how it ended is even crazier for me." In men's action on Thursday at the French Open, Serbian star Novak Djokovic threw to the semifinals. The Joker eliminated Germany's Alexander Zverev in straight sets. Final score from Paris, 7-5, 6-2, and 6-2. Djokovic will next play the Austrian Dominic Thiem. Thiem also won in straight sets against the Russian Karen Khachanov, 6-2, 6-4, and 6-2. So once again, it'll be Djokovic versus Thiem in the semifinals at the French Open. The big semifinal on Friday, Roger Federer, the Swiss ace, going up against Spanish star Rafael Nadal, who is bidding for a 12th, count it, 12th French Open trophy. Turning to African athletics, the 94th Comrades Ultra Marathon will take place in South Africa on Sunday as 25,000 runners attempt the 87-kilometer trek from Durban to Pietermaritzburg. The annual race alternates between an uphill route and a downhill route, and this year athletes will run the uphill course. South African Bangmusa Mthembu, the two-time defending champion of the long-distance race, will look to capture his third consecutive men's title and fourth title overall. Now, he could be challenged by countryman Gift Kelehe, who finished ninth in last year's downhill run, but is a specialist in the uphill races. British runner Stephen Way, who was third in 2018, should also be among the leaders. The South African and local favorite Anne Ashworth will aim to back up her 2018 win in the women's race after coming less than a minute shy of the women's record last year. Gerda Stein, last year's runner-up, and Camille Herron, an American who won the 2017 Comrades but was injured for last year's run, will also be among the top contenders in the women's race. Comrades is the world's largest and oldest ultramarathon. It requires runners to complete the grueling test of endurance in under 12 hours or be disqualified, as well as reach several time checkpoints throughout the race. That shouldn't be a problem for Mthembu, who crossed the finish line last year in 5 hours, 26 minutes, and 34 seconds. And it shouldn't be a problem for Ashworth either. She finished in 6 hours, 10 minutes, and 4 seconds last year. But for the mere mortals running the race, it will be a difficult challenge, the Comrades. Several awards will be up for grabs in the race, as the top 10 finishers of each gender will receive gold medals, and the other successful finishers will receive varying medals based on their times. No matter the winner, the 94th Comrades Ultra Marathon is sure to be an impressive display of toughness and determination. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the June 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Next up, a conversation with Farah Pandit, former diplomat and expert in countering violent extremism and author of the new book, How We Win, How Cutting-Edge Entrepreneurs, Political Visionaries, Enlightened Business Leaders, and Social Media Mavens Can Defeat the Extremist Threat. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday, on The Voice of America.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
For centuries, art lovers have been intrigued and captivated by the Mona Lisa's mysterious smile. An international research team recently conducted a study that suggests Mona Lisa's smile was forced or faked because of its asymmetry. The researchers had 42 people look at mirror images of just the left and just the right side of her smile and determine what emotion was expressed by each side. Most of the people said that the left side displayed happiness, but the smile's right side expressed either no emotion, disgust, or sadness, and when combined, produced an irregular smile. The study authors also noted that when someone smiles, their cheeks are raised and the muscles around their eyes contract. They said they couldn't find any indication of these facial features in the Mona Lisa painting. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, India's election results. For the second time in a row, Prime Minister Narendra Modi of the BJP Hindu Nationalist Party emerged victorious. Given Modi's strong Hindu nationalist leanings, will secular India turn into a Hindu nation? We'll examine it all next on Encounter, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7.
Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.